Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was just so beautiful to bask in that. Thank you. Oh. So good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you and be with you. So Doris's beautiful reading and prayer reminded me this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Shall we? Shall we remember that? Shall we live in that? And shall we rejoice in it? So, ideas. Born in the mind of God. That means a lot, right? Yikes, there's a lot. So the great Master Jesus taught the kingdom will be achieved when the choices we make in life, how we treat others, how we see ourselves, what priorities we embrace, reflect and express our oneness, our innate oneness with God and with all that is. So here we are. Here is the day that God, the Lord, has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us reflect that in the way that we are experiencing our lives, the way that we are prioritizing, and the way that we are sharing with each other. And so, Jesus taught us the kingdom will be achieved by all. He said the kingdom is within. And here's the spoiler alert for this whole message. We don't achieve the kingdom by saying the right words and waiting for it to appear. We create the kingdom by making loving, empowering choices that bring it into expression. And what that means to us, and what that means to us individually and us collectively, is that we go right back to it is the choices that we're making. It is an old idea that continues to renew itself and must be continuously renewed in our minds and in our life for us to be in agreement with our part of the way life is unfolding. So it's up to us to become aware of it. And if we're not already experiencing it, and I suspect that we are really, and it's really a matter of degrees, how much are we experiencing it? What areas in our life are we experiencing it or not? And then to recognize if it's time to go back into the field. You know, we've been talking about doing that good field work all month and going into the field, which is, of course, the field of life, and doing what we need to do. And, of course, the field of consciousness and doing what is ours to do. So the other thing that Doris inspired me of, and I had to grab my pen and make a quick note of, was, you know, when we are remembering to know what we know. You know what I'm talking about here? Sometimes do you forget what you knew? I'm not talking about your address. Although sometimes that might be it. But I'm talking about like remembering that we are love in expression, that we're made in the image and likeness of the divine, that we are perfect, whole, and complete. I don't know about you, but I have forgotten that at times. Okay, but then there are the times when I know what I know. And that's where our power lies. That's where it lies in knowing what we know and behaving accordingly. I have an affirmation that I've used for years. I'm a spiritually mature adult. Let me behave accordingly. And it helps me. Yeah, you laugh. It helps me to remember what I know so that I can live from that rather than living from the place of confusion or doubt or, oh, I don't really know who I am. And when I don't really know who I am, that's how I act out, that I don't really know who I am. But I do. And I know you do too. So like a seed planted and cared for becomes a sprouting plant, we can all picture that, an idea that has been growing matures as it is embodied, and it shifts from being a good idea to a practice, to a way of life. It matures, and it becomes an idea whose time has come. My question is, what is the divine idea that's being nurtured within you? What is the divine idea within you that is being tended and cared for and brought to maturity, brought to expression? What is calling to you? What keeps getting your attention? What is the good that you would like to bring forth in a greater way in your life? Or maybe it's said this way, what is the good that is seeking to be made known by means of you? Jesus and so many of the great mystics taught us the kingdom of heaven is a rich and joyful life experience. Yes? It's not something that we go to in another life experience. It's a result from choices we make. Choices that are rooted in our Christ consciousness, in recognizing and knowing the Christ within. And don't let that word scare you. Don't let that word scare you. Let it be an invitation to knowing that what we mean by that is knowing our oneness with the power, the presence that is within us, living from that, rather than living from those beliefs of separation, those beliefs of lack, those beliefs of limitation. And you know when those show up? They show up when we forget what we know. That's when they show up. So what is our good work to do? Know what we know and live what we know. So two of those choices that work hand in hand together with our intention to nurture and mature and bring forth that divine idea that's in us, two of those choices, you're going to love them. You're going to be so surprised not by them. Silence and action. Yeah, so we'll start with silence because it's often the most juicy. When we are still enough to hear the voice of God, we are going to feel the movement of Spirit upon us. So many times we find ourselves in that trap of doubt and forgetfulness, and then we don't know what to do because we've forgotten what we know. And really, if we will be still, Spirit will move us into action. An action. Here's the thing that I want us to get about this, is allowing the action to move through us, the action of that divine idea, the action of Spirit. Can it be what moves us? Yes, it can. Too many times we're looking for the right action, the right words out here, when what we need to do is to be quiet and listen and let the movement of Spirit move us into action. Many of us have discovered that God is not silent, but that we need to be silent to hear the message of God. So it isn't that it's so quiet, although it is often quiet, and we call it that still, small voice, because most of us don't get great big burning bushes or thunderbolts or great big ways of messages from God. Oftentimes it's very quiet, it's subtle. It's in the feeling and the music. It's quiet. And so we must learn to be quiet so that we can hear it. I know you've heard that before, so that was just a little reminder. You know, every day we have choices. Every day we have choices about what we're listening to, about what we're paying attention to, and about where we're getting our input from, yes? More and more and more and more. And I'm not even talking about our family and friends. Didn't even make you laugh, huh? But it's true. We have input from all over the place. And what we get to do is weed out what's useful. Weed out what isn't useful, what's viable, what's in alignment, what feels good, what doesn't feel good, and be able to be in the midst of the sea of input out here and listen quietly, devotedly, intentionally within us. So we go back to the field to care for the soil, the fertile mind, right? We go back and we take care of our mind. We go within and we be quiet and we let it. And we linger in it. We linger in it. And we become comfortable in the silence so that we can hear. Because the noise out here, I don't think it's really going to get quieter. Our job isn't to silence that out there. Our job is to be silent in here so that we can hear the voice of God. So I have an affirmation for us. The idea of love is growing in the fertile life activity of my mind. And I just invite you to just take that in. The idea of love is growing in the fertile life activity of my mind. It could be the idea of peace is growing in the fertile life activity of my mind. The idea of wholeness is growing in the fertile life activity of my mind. I keep it alive with interest, participation, engagement. I keep it at the forefront of my mind so that it does not get forgotten and it does not wither. Our spiritual maturity, it's a gradual blossoming. Just like that garden, it's a gradual blossoming of the divinity of God within us. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote in this thing called Life, "Life flows into everything, through everything. It passes into every human event and translates itself." Did you get that? Translates itself through every human act. If you learn to think of life as flowing through your every action, you will soon discover the things you give your attention to are quickened with new energy. For you are breathing the very essence of being into them. You know, when I hear it put that way, when I hear Ernest explain it that way, then I'm so inspired to realize that every time I say I'm the portal through which life is being made known, that's really what's going on. Spirit is flowing through me, into life. And what I'm giving my attention to, what I'm bringing my energy to, is being brought here. So how am I contributing to the world? So for most of us, if not all of us, we first learned that life is happening. We became aware. We become aware of the ups and downs, the good days, the bad days, the successes, the failures, the learning curves. And then we start maturing in the way that we're interacting with life. We start maturing and we discover that we have something to say about this life that we're experiencing. We become aware of it. We learn we have a connection with it, and we start feeling that connection, and we like, maybe you're like me, you get pretty excited about it because, ooh, I have a say in this? Oh, okay, but warning to myself and all of us, I have a say in it for me. It's tempting to think I have a say in it for all of the rest of the world. My saying is in it for me. And then, you know, I get excited about, ooh, you know, here's this power, and I get to be part of it, and I get to work with it, and I get to use it. And then pretty soon, I find it's much easier to be still and let it move me rather than me trying to move it. It's good to know that I can. I need to know that I can. I need to know that I can so that I can let go and let it move me. Oh, have you felt that in your life at some point? Where you just let go of trying to make it happen? Oh, and relax and feel the movement of God upon you. And then we come to appreciate, we come to value how the life activity of God is revealed as us. And sometimes we need to go back and remember and pay attention to how it's showing up. Remember a couple weeks ago? We actually do pay attention to what we've been growing out there. And we do recognize and know that we have a say in the matter, because we're not going to get consumed in guilt or fear or doubt, because we have a powerful mind that we can use. And then, in that awareness, we can relax and let go and let God in a whole new way. The thing that we're learning, I think, in this philosophy, in this teaching, is to take those very basic ideas and let them mature. Let them grow. Let them continue to expand our experience of life and our experience of how we're living life. I think that's what Ernest Holmes would want us to do. I know that's what spirit in me is compelling me to do. To know what I know and let it grow. To know what I know and let it be a beautiful, mature crop that is harvested. And I benefit from all of the good that I know. And I benefit from all of the joy and the understanding and the wisdom and the creativity and the power. And then I let it grow. Because that's the life activity. Life knowing and revealing itself in greater and greater ways. We move from good to greater good, glory to greater glory, always. And if we find that we're at a plateau and that we're at this resting point, then we get to rest there as long as needed, knowing that as we're still and as we're silent and we're listening, that movement will come naturally. That it will move us if we're still and silent and listening and obedient. You know how fond I am of obedience. Obedient to the Word of God. So we might have to learn the difference between the call of love and the lure of the ego. Both can be very seductive, both can be very tempting, but only one will lead us back home again. And we only discover the distinctions, like what one is versus the other one, by exploring it We can't think it through. We actually have to engage it so that we can know it for ourselves. So the kingdom of God is within. It's a spiritually mature idea. Daily we commit to it. Daily we commit to embodying the truth in expressing the divinity of God within us, within ourselves. And William James, I don't know if y'all know who he is, he wrote this. I will call this higher part of the universe by the name of God. And then he writes, we and God have business with each other. And in opening ourselves to his influence, our deepest destiny is fulfilled. So the part of this that I really like is that he says, I will call this higher power by the name of God. Well, I know that there are many holy names of God, and whichever name that we choose to use is the right and perfect one for us. I like the word, so I use it a lot. And then but if you use love, or divine love, or divine mind, or creative intelligence, or the thing itself, what we want to know then is that we have business together. We have business to do together. And that creative power is our greatest partner. It is our very greatest partner. And I don't ever want to be the partner that's ignored and left out and, you know, I don't need you, Patty. I got this today. Can you imagine going into the office with God, going in and, all right, let's do our good work today. Oh, but I don't need you today, God. I got this one. I'm kind of thinking I would rather sit in my prayer chair, bask in the presence, in the feeling, in the silence, in the energy of our oneness, and then know that God in me is leading, guiding, and directing every aspect of my life, every activity of my day. How do we see, hear, and understand it? We open our spiritual eye. Look upon a spiritual universe. That's a practice, y'all. Just if we just did that. Behold the life of God that surrounds us, that we're living in. Listen with the inner ear to be in tune with divine harmony. Open your mind. Seek and find your union with life. And I would add, ask questions, not to challenge, not to create division, but ask questions to clarify, ask questions to understand, ask questions to know and understand in a greater way. As long as we continue to think of ourselves as average or limited, we will continue to limit the power of God that is moving through us. It can only be as big and as great and as magnificent as we experience it. So last week, I invited the people in the room and the people that tuned in on the live stream to take on the challenge of loving your neighbor. Yes? Some of you might remember. How did it go? Did you love your neighbor? Yeah. How did it feel? Oh, I felt that. Felt good, didn't it? So this week I want us to continue that. Continue loving our neighbor. And then I want us to add something to it. I want us to pay attention to the feeling, to the experience, to what happens within us as we are expressing love. It's really great to commit to loving kindness and to know that we're doing that. What I want us to do is grow that, and to grow it by paying attention to how it feels within you. Pay attention to the subtleness of it, Pay attention to how it shifts you as you are experiencing loving kindness, okay? Any takers? Takers online? Continue loving your neighbor. Notice how it stirs within you. Think of it like experiencing the action of love and letting it live you. And then I have one more thing that I really need to get in here, and that is the instruction that I received last night. Don't become bored or unaffected by the words, "There is only one presence and one power, God, and it is good." Don't become bored or unaffected or frivolous with the words, "God is the love that I am." These are profound statements. These are profound